Let's stand together, please, with our songbooks. Hymn number 13, 1-3, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Pilgrims through this barren land sing, Guide Me, Thou Great.
God's house this morning, and it is our prayer that Jehovah would guide this service and take control from start to finish. And we are so honored to have each and every one of you in attendance today, and a good crowd and many guests from here and from afar. We welcome our online guests as well. And then I thought I saw Mrs. Gray over here from Longview, Texas, and we appreciate you and your family, and of course Sister Sherry and the children there. Many of you know Sarah, formerly Gleason, and her family. We're grateful to have you here with us today, and a beautiful wedding yesterday. We thank the Lord for that. It's going to be a wonderful day in God's house today, and we're looking to the Lord to do great things in our midst. And so let's pray to that end, asking God to do something special in each of our hearts this morning as we pray. Our Father, how thankful we are for your greatness. Lord, there are no words to describe your love. Yeah. And Father, your mercy, your grace, Lord, you're holy and just and true. And God, we ask you to take control of this service, start to finish. May Christ be exalted. May the word of God be magnified. And God, I pray that you would draw the lost to salvation. May we leave here knowing we've been in your presence. Anoint every aspect, we pray, of this service. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing.
Be that up in heaven God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner will soon become his own. Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up a heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven that day as the sinner bows his head to pray? Can't you hear the Father?
Song. Page number 10, please. Page number 10 in your songbooks. When I saw the cleansing fountain, I will praise him. Page number 10 on the first. When I saw the cleansing fountain, open wide for all my sin. Oh, I
can help somebody as I pass along. If I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can show
being in God's house this morning. What a great and tremendous crowd here on the lower floor and up in the balconies as well. And out of all the things you could have done, out of all the places you could have been, you chose to be in God's house this morning. And I believe that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ and to God. And he is thankful. And obviously, he appreciates that you are in church this morning. And that brings glory to his heart. And he's happy about that. And thank you for being here. This is the right choice. And this is the right place to be. And so thank you so much. And we have a great church, don't we? We have a tremendous church. There's no singing like our church. There's no choir like our church. There's no specials like our church. There's no pastor like our church has.
Amen.
And we have a tremendous church. And thank you for being in God's house. Ushers, if we can get the visitor packet out at this time, if you would. And as the ushers are coming, visitors, thank you for being in attendance this morning. And it is our tremendous honor and privilege that you're here with us. And they have a packet with just some information about our church and some of the different ministries that we have and all the expanding ministries, as we are blessed to be in a place that has all different kind of nationalities and ethnicities, and we have all the different ministries. It's amazing. I was reading a fact about Santa Clara County just the other day, but there is over 70% of Santa Clara County residents were actually born and not in the United States. And it was something like 770,000 people that are in Santa Clara County were not born in the U.S. And God is bringing the mission field to us. And he's bringing all these different people. And so thank you for being a part of that. And ushers, at this time, can you get the bulletin out? And just some information about some different events that are happening in our church. And lots of different things as we look forward to really this springtime in our church. And raise your hand if we've missed you with the bulletin. And really the most important and pressing announcement is church tonight at 6 o'clock. and let's make sure that we're in our spot. And there's some different things going on, youth hour ahead of time, and choir practice, and the children's choir, as well as the Sunday evening school of the Bible, 5:15, and that's just tremendous. But let's be in our spot tonight at 6 o'clock, ready for God's Word.
I, too, want to welcome you to be in church today. Thank you for being here, and what good singing and a great crowd. While we're here, the buildings have refilled over here to my left and back here. The other property is packed, and for the C ministry and also the Spanish. And tonight, many of us will assemble back in here tonight. We'll have a full choir tonight, orchestra, and look forward to a great, great service. 6 o'clock, right on time tonight. And I hope you'll take time to look at that bulletin. You know, I've been, it's in our song book. I was preaching out of town on Friday night, and I got on the side of the road waiting for the meeting, got to the church a little early, and I was singing, "His eye is on the sparrow." And I know he watches me. Could someone look that up? We'll sing it together. Mrs. Bob Gray, we're so thankful you're here. I love your husband, and he's been a faithful servant of God in Longview, Texas. He flew through the night to get home. And thank you for the beautiful, your entire family, the beautiful wedding yesterday. And we got more coming. And here's a song. It's page number 414. You know, Brother Galvan, as you play that, Brother Brandyke and Miss Van Dyke, I think you were at this funeral. And I've told it before, but I was telling it to myself in my car the other night. It got me so fired up. Brother Earl was in his 50s when he moved into the nursing home next to the other property. And his wife moved in. He was an engineer, and his health broke. And he'd come to the wheelchair, and I'd say, "Earl, come and sing that." And they'd wheel him up, "His eyes on the sparrow." Earl passed away early, and they took him to Jones Mortuary up there in East Palo Alto. And there were four other preachers. They went before me. All were black preachers. When I get to heaven, God's going to let me preach like a black man. They have a rhythm. I just love it. And those men preached, and I said, "Oh, dear God, what am I going to do?" It just was odd, you know? It was just, were you there, Brother Van Dyke? It was a special service. And here comes the white preacher. I didn't have anything like that. And I said, "You know, Earl," and I told him about this song. And I started singing, "Why should I be discouraged?" A young boy went to the organ. Do, 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 do. You know how they do, you know? And I sang a little bit more. Do, 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 do. It was awesome. It was wonderful. And we got singing. And God got in that service that day. I don't know what you go through in life, folks, but God's, if he watches the sparrow, and it won't fall to the ground without his notice. A beautiful, beautiful bluebird fell in my backyard. It was there. I found it. It was dead. God watches the birds. He watches you. Why should I feel discouraged? Sing it together on stanza one, page 414. Why should I feel discouraged? Sing it on just that first stanza. Lift it up. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should I fall into the
thought he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father and would love us with a love that could not cease. Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know cannot begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. For he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul's ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me. I stand amazed when I think that the King of Glory would come to live within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me. When I think of who he is and who I am, for he's more wonderful than my mind can conceive. He's more wonderful than my heart can believe. He goes beyond my highest hopes and fondest dreams. He's everything that my soul's ever longed for, everything he's promised, and so much more. More than amazing, more than marvelous, more than miraculous could ever be. He's more than wonderful, more than wonderful. That's what Jesus is to me.
Thank you, each of you. Just a few moments after the offering, we'll be in Colossians 3. We have worked our way through verse 15. And I want to remind you, this church was a good church. They were saved. We've seen that. But they began to merge the gods of Colossae with the true God. And they began to merge those gods together. And consequently, the church is extinct today. Turkey is where it is. And much of Turkey is going to have part in the tribulation time and Armageddon and Iran, Iraq, and Syria. Those countries all joined together. But the entire city is just gone. Huge city. Great industrial city at one time. Selling cloth and selling dye and carting it over to Ephesus, about 120 miles away. Rich, and abundance. But they began to worship all these gods. God wants us to say one thing, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. God, there's one God. And in this country of ours today, we begin to have all these different idols and things that we think and we chase are so very important. Well, God's going to tell us today about priority living, purposeful living. And ushers, you come and we'll pick up our Bibles and just after the offering and get right into the message. There's a purpose for your life. There's a purpose in my life. But we must live on purpose. Hurting people is not the purpose. I heard you saying, if I could help somebody. That helped me so much today. If we just help somebody. One of our dear ladies, I think she began riding the bus years ago. She's here somewhere today. And she said to me, Pastor, out front, she said, forgive my dress. I have to go to work today. I said, you look fine. You look great. And she said, I've been up a lot, and I prayed for three things for you. One, I thought, I can't believe you prayed that. That's exactly what I've been praying for. And two, she told me the second thing, and then the third. And all three is what God had put on my heart. God sent her to me today, and God bless her. Let's give cheerfully. Our Father, bless the offering is our prayer, and use it for your glory. And I pray that we would be able to see many wonderful things transpire as a result of these gifts, getting the gospel around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's remain seated and read verse 15, 16, and 17 together. Verse 15, 16, and 17. We'll pause at the commas and semicolons and periods. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. Ready? Begin. And let the peace of God. Apostle Paul's dealing with this church, and really what he's telling them, purposeful living. Life cannot be haphazard. I get up in the morning, let's just go through the routine, get my cup of coffee, go to work, come home, eat, watch something. end of day, next day. No, there needs to be a purpose for living. God calls it the will of God. The will of God is a plan for your life. It's a plan for my life. It's a purpose. And you say, well, I don't know why I was created. Well, then just do what you do know. God says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. So what you've done today, you perform the will of God. There's so many visitors here today. We're grateful you every week. God's bringing you in. You're looking for something. But you fulfilled the will of God in your life today. We just had the opportunity to tithe and give. And did you fulfill the will of God in your life? God has a will. We heard a song, If I Can Help Somebody. Are we going to do that this week? The song was sung so we could leave here and do that along the pathway of life, helping people on the journey of life. And here Paul begins to deal with this church. He said, because you have to put an order to your life. This church is all disorderly. Though Paul reminded him, our church verse here, Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God wanted everything in that church to be preeminent, but they were doing their own thing. They were worshiping the god Zeus, the Aphrodite. They worshiped that goddess. They worshiped the goddess Cynthia. They worshiped the goddess Nike. They had all these various gods they'd worship. And if we're not careful, we get tied into that same thing. We can worship money. We can worship play and party. What are we doing today? What are we doing tonight? How about responsibility? How about life? How about your marriage? How about your children? How about your parents? How about your home? And so he says, I want you to, verse number 15, let the peace of God rule your heart. There's two types of peace in the Bible. We know this. There's the peace with God and the peace of God. Would you keep your hand right here, please? Would you back up with me to Ephesians chapter 2? Just two books. Ephesians chapter 2. And if we could hear the rustling of the page, that would be great. Let me know that you're looking there. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, we're away from God. In fact, look what he says, what we are in verse number 19. You are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. He calls us in the Bible, when we're without Jesus Christ, we've not been born again, we're the enemy of Christ. We're a stranger. We're a foreigner. The Bible says, how about verse number 13 then? Christ brings us nigh. All right, here it is. And he hath made him, God hath made him, look right here, please, for just a moment. God, we'll stay right there. God hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, this one that died on the cross, Jesus, he who knew no sin. There was no guile in his mouth, no sin in his life. He was the Son of God. He is without sin. He who knew no sin went to the cross and died for us, that we, the sinner, might be made the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. God and sinner reconciled. You probably heard it in the mall this year at Christmas, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, where God and sinners reconciled. You see, I'm over here, I don't have peace with God. I'm born a foreigner, I'm born a stranger, I'm born an enemy, I'm away from God. But in his love, he who was rich in love, he died on the cross for my sin. For wherefore is by one man, Jesus, Adam, sin entered in the world. And death, there's a consequence for sin. Death by sin. So death is passed upon all men for all sin. Someone paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. But Jesus died for my sin. Amazing. And he reconciles me to God. Look what he says right here. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood. For, verse 14, what is the first five words? Ready? Begin. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He and verse number, okay, 16, that he might reconcile both God in one body, the cross, having slain enmity thereby. And so here we are, we're against God. Turn back with Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and you're doing great today. Let me hear the pages rustling, and I'll get you back to that text. I won't move you much around after this. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, verse 1. Therefore, being justified. You know, Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church in the 1500s, he was a priest. He eventually married a nun when she got saved, but he was reading the book of Romans. And he realized that justification is in the book of Romans. Justification does not mean just like you've never sinned. No, it means you have been declared righteous, though a sinner. And Martin Luther read the book of Romans and said, I'm a priest. I'm forgiving people's sins. They confess unto me, but a priest standing daily in the temple can never take away sin. I can't take anyone's sin away because Jesus Christ died on the cross. I cannot go through Mary because there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Martin Luther got saved, and the nun got saved. In time, they got married. They established the Lutheran Church, and he nailed his 95 thesis at the door of the church at Wittenberg about justification, that Jesus Christ is the answer, not a church, not a denomination, not confirmation, not sprinkling, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Here he says, therefore being justified, declared righteous by faith, we have, watch this here, we have what? Peace with whom? With God. We have peace with God. Let's read verse 8 together. Ready? Begin. But God commended his love toward us. Let's read verse number 9 and verse number 10. Ready? Begin. Much more then. Let's go back to the book of Colossians, please. So there must be a moment in your life where you learn, and I have learned, to have peace with God. The war is over. The battle is over. I'm no longer a stranger and an enemy. And woe, that night that God reached down his hand and saved me so many, many years ago, about 15 minutes from here. And I'll never forget that night. I won't go through it because you heard it 1,000 times plus. But when God saved me, I tell you what, I felt like a load had been lifted off of my heart. Just a load had been removed. Well, I was in condemnation. I was on my way to hell, and I realized that my eyes were open. I knew my condition. I knew that I could not save myself, but Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Oh, I'm justified. I'm declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have peace with God. Here's the problem with Jack Treber's life. Though I have peace with God, and that's been a signed transaction for all these years, I've not had peace always of God. You see, he said to this church, yes, you've been saved, but now let the peace of God. The peace of God. Now that's different. Peace is an inner tranquility. I don't always have inner tranquility. Through the night I did not have inner tranquility. Because I laid in bed there and just got thinking of prayer requests. Things that huge trouble me. Many of your names were on that moment. And I finally got up through the night. Spent the rest of the night up. And don't pour me and all that business. I had no peace. And part of it was I was burdened for the people that are going to sit in this auditorium. And part of it was burdened for some of the people that I knew were coming in here with heartaches and trials. just threw up a little A. What was that thing I just kicked? A bead from the wedding yesterday. And so we owe you a bead. I just threw it. I got the leaf up. My wife says that's my kids brought to my attention that I straighten psalm books while I preach. This piece of paper here is driving me crazy. And you know what my wife says I have, and I have it. I guess ADHYZ, whatever I have it. But everything's in order right now. Would you be willing to stay awake? Did you get the bead? You got the bead. All right. Here, we owe you one bead right here. Here it is right here. It's got a little hole. I'm going to throw it back there. Now, you deal with it. All this stuff around here. I am so ashamed of myself. How that I really believe I was walking with God. And praying. But then, Brother Rick, I think I began to worry. Do you want me to be different from here, fellas? So, like, that's not you firing at me, is it? All right. Let's just take this one off, okay, fellas? All right. Don't blame them. I'm glad I have this spot. I'm glad I don't have that spot right there. God says, Jack, I want the peace of God, the tranquility, inner tranquility. I walk around a lot, don't I? It's going to be tough being stuck at this pulpit here. God wants an inner tranquility. And the next word is, what is the next word? To rule. To rule my heart. I don't have time, but I was going to bring an umpire up here today. And I was going to be down here and pitch, and I was going to do one of the ladies' calls, or a mother in the stands, or some dad that does not know anything about sports. It's an amazing thing how we all know more than the referee or the umpire. And the word rule is to umpire our life. The umpire calls balls and strikes. I was going to throw a strike, but bounce it in front of the plate and then go over the plate, strike. But the umpire was going to call it a ball. I was going to have a problem with the umpire today because I know what's right. I know the best way to call balls and strikes. And God says, I want to rule, I want to call your walk in your life, the balls and the strikes. I want to call your life and control your life. Let the peace of God. I don't want money to rule your life, govern your life. I don't want fear to govern your life. I don't want anxiety to govern. I don't want that you got to get up with uppers. You got to go to bed with downers. I don't want that. I want to let the peace of God far away in the depths of my spirit tonight. Peace, peace. He gave us a beloved. He can give you sleep. He can give you peace too. The kids sometimes in high school will sing, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace. Do you have peace today? Is there that inner calm? Or is everything an issue? Is it all drama? Is it up and down? Love the Lord, I'm down. I'm excited. I love my family. I'm ticked off with my family. Let the peace of God rule your hearts. To which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. And so for my life, purposeful living is let the peace of God, the peace of God, find the peace of God. And secondly, verse number 16, let the word of God. So not only do we have the peace of God, and that's a result of peace with God, but look what he says. I can have the word of God, the word of Christ dwelling. What's to dwell? It means to feel right at home. To reside. God wants this book to feel right at home. You say, well, I don't understand it. Well, first of all, if you're new a Christian, maybe it would be difficult, the book of Leviticus or some of these books. But you know what I find? You just start reading it. You're smart. You people all figured out how to use a computer. You're very smart. You know how to do banking online. You're very weird. You're very smart. How do you do that? And then I'll hear somebody say, do you need a receipt? I'm thinking, yes, you need it. How are you going to log it in your checkbook? They said, no, I don't need a receipt. I love you folks, but you're strange. I was dealing with somebody on the phone. They said, well, how can I'll email this to you. I said, oh, I don't know how to do that. What? They say, I don't. Now, they do it for me, and they run them off, and I get stacks of them from all these different staff members, and I handwrite them back. I don't know how you people do all this stuff. And I'm not going to become like you either, because I want to be a good Christian. Has nothing to do with it. I'm just not smart enough like you. God not only wants the peace of God to rule my heart, He wants the Word of God to dwell in me. Here's what happens, folks. You just keep reading. And when trials come, now here, listen carefully. When trials come, God always gives you scripture. When trials come, I don't go looking. Say, I need a verse here. What verse can I choose here? Oh, no. Something happened. I've told you years ago, I was coming home probably 3 o'clock in the morning. And I got down here. I was driving from Los Angeles and preached. Maybe it was 3:30. And I always wanted to be here when our kids woke up on Wednesday morning. So I preached there Monday night, Tuesday night, and then drove down and then driving back through the night. And I got to what is now the Exchange 280, 680, 101. But it stayed built for years. It wasn't completed. It was just up there, but you could not come. Nothing connected at all. And I got there. I was very tired. And I saw four billboards, and they're not there now. But one was for smoking, and one was for drinking, and one was for the lottery just coming in, and one was for rock music. And now it's 3:30 in the morning. I'm talking to myself. And I said, why would anybody want that life? Smoking, drinking, working from job, getting your money and then wasting it, rock music. Why would anybody want that life? And I answered it. I answered it wrong. I said, it's an easy life. And I said, oh, no. God's word, Matthew, God brought me the scripture immediately. My yoke is easy. And my burden is light. For the way of the transgressor is hard. It's very difficult. And I want you to know that when we see that God's ways, He said, well, it's so hard to be a Christian. Oh no, God said it's easy. In comparison to what this world has, it's easy. I don't listen to the news. I don't watch the news, but it does pop up on my phone, and I see headlines all the time. This movie star committed suicide, and this rock and roll person committed suicide, and this person committed suicide. And why? They have everything. They have notoriety. They have money. They have applause, but they don't have Jesus Christ. And I think about how that the 170,000 people that died in our streets last year with fentanyl. I think of how so many of those are young. They had nothing to live for. They trying to find some peace. Great peace have they who love thy law. And so he said, you want a purposeful life? Well, the peace of God, the word of God. And let me try to close it down here. The songs of God. And I won't go on this very much because I've been talking about on Wednesday nights, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There's so much in this text that I've passed over, not only the Word of God and the peace of God and the songs of God, but the grace of God is in there, and the thanks to God, verse number 17 again. He's trying to tell this church, would you stop toying around with all these other things that bring no contentment? They bring no peace. They bring no contentment. They bring nothing that's based upon the Word of God. What a great book for people to live by. And today I'm going to ask you to consider, where are you going? What's your purpose? I mean, what's your priority? Well, I'm going to make a lot of money. For what? What's the reason for a lot of money? So I can pay a lot of taxes. And our governor and the crowd just lost $24 billion through their homeless program, and they cannot account, they don't know where it went. That's a smart fella. Maybe one day he'll be our president. You know, today, live on purpose. I have more to say, but I think I'll stop right there. Where's your life headed? Let's bow for prayer. Father, what a powerful book this book of Colossians has been in my own life. Here's a man warning this church constantly. They went into yoga. They separated mind and spirit. But your word says it is spirit. It's mind, soul, and body. Thank you for the fact that we're trichotomists. And we saw that this church went into dichotomy. How foolish. We're always trying to exempt you. But God, without you, we can do nothing. I pray your blessing upon these dear people. Or they got up this morning and ready and came to the house of God. Most could not find parking here. Walked in, rode shuttle buses in to get into the house of God. Lord, reward them and bless them for that effort. I pray that all of us would leave here today with a desire to think of what the choir sang for us, the value of one, an old victory in Jesus. May we live on the winning side, the victory side. I thank you for this special music, if I could help somebody as I journey all my life. How thankful we are for that soul. He's more wonderful. We can't explain how wonderful, what a wonderful, mighty God we serve. Keep us from this church in Colossae, how they erred so badly. They had been given so much, and they rejected what you gave them. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Do you have peace with God? Do you have the peace with God? Are you saved? If you're not saved, there's appointed a place called hell. It's not because bad people are just there. It's because people have rejected Christ. You could be dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's, but if you're not born again, you're not ready to live. You're certainly not ready to die. I wonder if you're saved. Do you have the peace with God? Our heads are bowed. How many have the peace with God? You've been saved. Could you lift your hand? I'm saved. I know I'm saved. You may put them down. And you know, I saw hands that were not raised. You're honest. You're in church. God bless you. Won't you like to get saved? I'll not call your name. I'll not point out where you're seated. But would you say, Brother Traber, please include me in prayer. I want to go to heaven. When I die, pray for me. I'll not name your name. I may not even know it. Could you slip your hand up in the balconies, the lower floors, everywhere, everywhere. Could you lift your hand? Pray for me. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. How many are here today? You see, Pastor, I'm not living life with the peace of God. I'm all tensed up about life. Pray for me. Let God see your hand. Would you slip it up? Thank you. Father, I love these people so much. I'm so very grateful that they would come and allow me to speak the Word of God to them. I pray that we'd ponder this week, why am I here? What's the purpose? And if we're failing at our purpose, help us to decide and determine to find that purpose. And then as we find our purpose, fulfill our purpose and finish our purpose. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand together, shall we? As we stand together, the pianist plays. Pastors are here in front. Ladies, if you'll come. I believe there's some ladies that would like to get saved here today. Some men as well. Would you come? Some of my mothers and dads, use this altar today. Would you do that? Pray for your marriage, your home, your family, your children. God bless you. Come to Christ. That's it. Come. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. God will save you today. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Who else? I need to be saved. Come, we come. Our heads bowed. Walking in this room, I believe I heard today of three deaths of friends and loved ones, all young. One elderly. One in the 50s. One under 10. We have no idea about life and death. Last week, people were alive and sat in church, and this week gone. Father, bless these dear people, these that kneel here, those that are praying at their pew. I pray that we'd be good people this week, good Christians this week. I pray for those that know not Christ, that they'd come to know the King of Kings. I pray they would have experience for the first time peace with God, so they might enjoy a daily life of peace with God. I pray as the buses go home this afternoon, you keep them safe, all the drivers, all the captains, all the children and parents and adults, the shuttle ministry. Bless the other property. As in Spanish, they're moving into their invitation. And the bus kids are listening on both properties. God, open blinded eyes to the hope of eternity with Jesus Christ. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, Lord. I thank God for you so much. Tonight, looking forward to the service at 6 o'clock. And visitors, I'm going to go to the door. We'll have baptism here in a moment. But if you have time, I'd like to shake your hand and get to meet you. I know there's doors here and back here. We'll go every which direction. But I hope that you can come by and just say hello if you have time. Baptism shows that we believe Jesus died on a cross. It was buried and rose again. When people get saved, they're saved. They're going to go to heaven. Their name's written in the book of life. You don't have to do anything else to go to heaven. The thief on the cross never got baptized, and God said, today you'll be with me in paradise. But other than that one example, everybody that had the opportunity got baptized the same hour, immediately, or the same day. Just real quickly, I got saved and 1956, but I didn't know that you should have been baptized right away. And in 1959, I got baptized. And I'm so very thankful, but I was still saved those 3 years. My baptism did not save me. Jesus identified with me at salvation, And what baptism, I identified him in, with him in the death and the burial and the resurrection. They're not ready yet. They're baptized at the other property as well. We'll be baptized. We have folks that have gone up there. You can stay and watch. I'm going to go to the door. And I was kind of inhibited here today. I like moving around. So I guess I do have that, whatever it is you say I have. But I look forward to seeing you tonight. Say hello to the person in front of you, behind you, to the right, to the left. Who knows? Trade Social Security numbers. You might find a real good friend today. Let me pass your row. When I pass your row, you'll be dismissed.
This is Jose. This is Jose. He's from bus route number 29, excuse me. And the brother Caleb Henry. Jose, have you asked Jesus to be your Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.